Welcome back to another episode of the Adam Schefter podcast. Mid-February, about to be a time of extreme quarterback movement. And today, we will be joined by the new general manager of the Atlanta Falcons, Terry Fontenot, a man who worked for the New Orleans Saints from 2003 through 2021 before the Falcons hired him as general manager. Quite a transition for Terry and his family to move now from New Orleans to Atlanta to take over the Atlanta Falcons. And the Atlanta Falcons don't have a pressing need for a quarterback right now, but at some point, probably this offseason, they will be in the quarterback market, as many teams across the league will be. And in this podcast, we'll talk about Carson Wentz and Deshaun Watson and Sam Darnold and some of the other quarterback moves, as well as the Houston Texans releasing the great J.J. Watt with all the good that he's done in the Houston community and where he could wind up next. But before we get to Terry, first, I want to tell everyone about a brand new ESPN podcast. You know about First Take, but how about First Take, Her Take? New podcast is hosted by Charlie Arnault, Kimberly Martin, and Chinee Agumake. They discuss and debate the biggest sports stories and delve into topics about their lives and culture. Subscribe, rate, and review First Take, Her Take, as well as the Adam Schefter podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. And now, Terry Fontenot. Terry?
Hey, how's it going, man?
We finally get to speak. Do you know how many times somebody attempted to put me in touch with you over the years?
Are you serious?
Terry, in all honesty, there are people that try to connect me to you that vouch for your character. And as you were going through the interview process, I think of the various people who I spoke to who were impressed with you. And I start most notably with the Denver Broncos, who didn't speak highly about you. They raved about you. They're like, Terry Fontenot is going to be a star. He's going to be a star.
That means a lot. That means a lot because I really enjoyed that process with those guys. I really do believe you learn a lot about a team and an organization when you're going through that process. And I enjoyed it so much. I enjoyed that whole group, top to bottom, and just that entire process. I interviewed with them twice and had several conversations, even away from it. And that's a really good group. So that means a lot for them to speak highly of me.
Terry, what did you learn about the Atlanta Falcons during that process? Because as you say, you learn a lot about a group during this interview sessions.
Yeah, I did. I did learn a lot. And going into it, if you would have asked me, Adam, during midway through the season or a year ago, if I would ever join the Atlanta Falcons, I would laugh. And I would think there's no chance that could ever happen. But it's funny because now I've gotten so many friends and family that live in Louisiana that they want me to send them Falcons gear. And I did. I learned a lot about them. I learned a lot about that organization. And even going into it, I read Arthur's book because somebody told me, they said, read Arthur's book. And I did. And it meant a lot to me because it talked about, it's not just about, it is about winning. It is about winning the right way. But also there's a principled approach in everything he does, in all his businesses. He has a principled approach and he wants to do things the right way with the right people. And once I read the book and I started doing my research, and then once I got on the interview, he didn't disappoint at all throughout the entire process. And I saw, and you can tell right away, and Adam, you know that when you get around people and start communicating with them, it's a relationships business, and you understand that. But I really did from Arthur and Rich McKay and everybody. His sons were actually Arthur Blank's sons were on the interview as well. And getting to meet them, and you can't fake that. They're really good people, and it's a really good organization, and they operate with principles. So that really spoke to me. Somebody that they want to affect the community, they want to do things the right way. So that really spoke to me as a person. So through this process, I learned a lot about the Falcons, and I really wanted to be here.
Now, you mentioned, of course, you could never imagine wearing Falcons gear, rooting for the Falcons, cheering for the Falcons, working for the Falcons. What is that like for you and for all the people in Lake Charles, Louisiana to now have to do?
I mean, I appreciate that. Lake Charles, Louisiana, man, you do your work. But it's interesting. I'm telling you because, you know, growing up and right there and being in Louisiana, and it's always been black and gold. It's always been black and gold for my family. And So it's kind of like my dad. My dad's been a Saints fan. My dad's close to 80 years old, and he's been a Saints fan for a long time. But it's just crazy how quick you can make that switch, Adam. I mean, right away, already, it just seems normal to me. Like, and when you get so ingrained in the process, and right now I'm just laser focused on, we just met on free agency with the coaches this morning. Yep. And last week, we're doing a lot of self-scout, a lot of analysis on our team. And right now, our college guys are going through meetings, and I'm going to be able to jump in those meetings with them tomorrow. And we'll be meeting over the next week and a half. And so when you're so ingrained in the process, you just put your head down and you keep working, and you're wearing different colors. And so it's one of those things where I would have never thought, again, I would have never thought if you'd asked me a month ago, but now it just seems normal. It really does. It seems normal with all your family and friends. And sometimes people say, there's been so many people that want to be here, whether people want to work in the building or there's a lot of Louisiana Falcons fans. I really believe that. But once you get into it, you just put your head down and you work, and it seems normal to me.
Has the adjustment been as easy for your family, Terry?
That's the hardest part. That really is. So how about this? So this was last Wednesday. And so my family is just, they're still in New Orleans and they're going to finish school. So my wife is coming back and forth and looking at houses, but they're not going to come into the summer. So on Wednesday, my son is 9 and I'm on the phone with Caden that night. He says, "Hey dad, when are you coming home?" And I felt horrible. And I said, "Buddy, I'm not coming home. You're coming here, man." So the next day, so I have three daughters. London's my oldest. She's 11. Landry's 4. And then Lennox, our little baby, she's 9 months. So my wife texted me on last Thursday and she said, "Terry, you should FaceTime your daughter right now because Landry, my 4-year-old, is on the floor playing with Lenny, the baby." And she just told her, "We're never going to see dad again."
Wow.
So it just crushed me. It just hurt my heart. So what I did is, on Saturday, I just flew home at like 5 or 6 o'clock and I was home for less than 24 hours. I flew home and took that direct flight and I got home and I had dinner, with the kids and we had movie night and I got up and had brunch with them and I came back to Atlanta. So just to spend a little bit of time with them, because that has been the hardest part, being away from them a little bit more, but they get it and they're all in and they can't wait to come.
Fake information, Terry. Boy, we can't have that, especially amongst family members. That's not good.
Right.
When did you first want to become a general manager, Terry? Or when did you think that was actually realistic?
Yeah, I don't think there was ever a moment, honestly, in my life where I really just said I want to be a general manager. I don't think that there was that moment in my life. I didn't even know. So when I started working at 22 years old, when I started working for the Saints, I started in marketing and I just started learning about in working in marketing. I started working with the college scouts and met the pro scouts. And I just thought it was interesting what they did. And so I started going on the road with them and started doing things late at night. And I just had a passion for it. It was just really natural for me. So at that time, I knew I wanted to work in personnel. And you really, once you start doing it, and I think you can probably attest that it's like, when you're passionate and like Adam, you love what you do. And so you just do that and you don't always think of the next step. You have passion and you love what you do. And that started for me 18 years ago, just having passion for something and really loving it and appreciating it and being in that moment. And that's really like, I got emotional on during my press conference when I kind of said it out loud. And when I said, "Hey, 18 years ago, I got this opportunity." And I think that's the first moment where I really appreciated the fact that I was becoming a general manager, because in my mind, I just have passion for it. I do it and I like what I do. It's always the next thing. So when you become, now you become a pro scout, now you become a pro director, now you become a VP, and then you become the assistant GM, and you don't even think about it. You just think about those next steps. Even when I signed the contract with the Falcons, I did it. I was sitting in my truck in the parking lot of my house and I did it on DocuSign, and it was about 10:30 at night on the 18th of last month. And I didn't even think twice. I just did it. And right at that moment, I'm not thinking about becoming a GM. I'm thinking about all the things that need to be accomplished in short order. And so I'm thinking about the staff, and I'm thinking about all the processes and the adjustments we need to make. And I'm thinking about the roster and how we're going to do this. And so your mind goes to that, and it goes to what you need to do. And I think through my career, that's what my mindset has been. Okay, whatever role I'm in, whatever moment I'm in, what do I need to do to be as successful in this moment? So I can't say there was one moment where I just said, I want to be a general manager, or I just take advantage of the opportunities I've been blessed with, and all the wonderful people that I've been in my path. I take advantage of all those relationships and the opportunities, and just do the very best you can.
I think that's important, right? Like, I know when I was very young, just getting to the business, I had great goals and was very ambitious. And I think the sooner you get away from trying to aspire to get to somewhere and start focusing on the job at hand and just doing a good job every day and working hard and not thinking about where it may go, I think you're better off then, right? If that makes any sense to you.
You're absolutely right. And that's something that, Adam, that you always have to preach that to the entire staff, because everyone in these roles, whether we're talking about coaches or scouts or people on the business side, you're always hungry and you're always looking for the next thing. But you just have to do your best to focus on that job you're in. You know, how you do anything is how you do everything. So you can't compartmentalize success. You can't say, I'm going to be a better coordinator than I was a position coach, or hey, I'm going to be a better director in scouting than I was a scouting assistant. It doesn't work like that. How you do anything is how you do everything. So you have to focus on that moment you're in and focus on what you're doing in that moment. And then success will naturally come from that.
I like that. How you do anything is how you do everything. I like that. But there was no momentary where you just allowed yourself to celebrate and think, I've become an NFL general manager?
It was in my press conference. And so I'm sitting down, picture, I'm sitting down, and it's an office, and it's on Microsoft Teams. So I'm facing the monitor, and then I got my kids on the other side, and my wife and my daughters are all sitting on the couch, and my son, Caden, he's 9. And so he's sitting directly across from me. Mm-hmm. And my wife has a picture of him. She took a picture, and he was just looking at me, and it's the coolest picture in the world. And I'm going to put it up in my office, because it's kind of cool, because in that moment, I can see how proud he is of me. When I was 9 years old, the NFL was so far from me. I didn't, but him at 9 years old, he's sitting there looking at me and he says, I want to be a general manager. And that's what he wants to do. And he's looking at me in that moment. And that's what got me emotional, because again, I have been just, as opposed to appreciating the moment, I had been just looking at what needs to be done. But then sitting down there right there and seeing my son look at me and seeing my daughters, well, seeing them look at me and my wife, and saying it out loud, you know how it is. Sometimes when you say something out loud, it really makes it true to you. So when I said it out loud in that moment, and when I saw my son sitting across from me, I think that's really literally the first time where I really appreciated the fact that, man, I've really become a general manager. And then you start thinking about all the opportunities you're blessed with, and then all the people, you know, from my parents, my siblings, my wife, my kids. All the coaches, all the way from Pee Wee soccer through high school, and you know, all the coaches and scouts and players, and just all the people that have really added to who you are as a person. So many influential people through your path that have really made you are as a man. And so I think in that moment, I just kind of appreciated. I don't see it as an accomplishment. I see it as an opportunity, but I appreciated the opportunity in that moment. But then very quickly, Adam, you go right back to, okay, we got a lot of work to do. Let's get to work.
Right. Well, that's how it is, right? You've got to focus on the job at hand. But it's nice that you got to have that brief moment to appreciate it and see your son looking at you and you setting an example for him and your 3 daughters. That's awesome. I love that. And you mentioned all those people who had an influence on you. And I think back on my career, and there are certain people that are instrumental in helping me to become a reporter. And I think back to those moments and those people and those times, and I would not be where I am today without them. Who are a couple of people that really made a difference in you being where you are today, Terry?
Yeah. So it starts with my parents. Like my father, you know, my father worked at the same power plant for over like almost 60 years. Wow. And another emotional moment is when I was interviewing with the Detroit Lions and the Ford family, and I'm telling them, hey, my dad, it was a Firestone power plant, a rubber plant in Lake Charles, Louisiana, or Sulphur, Louisiana, actually. And I'm telling him he worked there for over 50 years and he drove the same Ford. It was an old truck and he drove it until he couldn't run anymore. And I got emotional in that moment to know what my dad came from. And for me to be sitting down and have an opportunity to be an NFL general manager. But my father, his work ethic, he's the most optimistic person I've ever met in my life. He just has a way of, you know, one of my favorite books is, Ryan Holiday, The Obstacle is the Way. And that's how my dad lives. He's always, it's about your perception and he's always going to spin it and make it positive. And he's going to think the best of everyone and every situation, every circumstance. But, my work ethic, the optimism, the strong faith he has, you know, I still remember like it was yesterday. So I'm 9 years old. And I'm in fourth grade and my older brother was in sixth grade. He was trying out for the football team at Oak Park Middle. And so me and my dad are watching these tryouts. And it's at the end of practice and these guys are running wind sprints and they're running so many sprints. This is a different day. Now this was in the mid 80s, right? So they're running the hell out of these guys. And there's some kids that just start walking off the field. And my dad told me, he said, Terry, God bless everyone with a certain level of talent, a certain level of intelligence. Like there's certain physical traits, physical attributes that God just gave you, but there's something that's immeasurable and that's your heart. And in these moments, when these guys are out there running, like it has nothing to do with speed or it's just about your heart and who you are. And so no one can ever measure your heart. And that's up to you. It's up to you how you work. And in that moment, I took it in everything I did. And I knew that, hey, regardless of, I'm always going to be the hardest worker. No one's ever going to outwork me. No one's ever going to have more passion about what they do than me. In that moment, at 9 years old, I can literally put myself at Oak Park Middle on the field. And I remember that like it was yesterday. So my dad has had a big, and still does have a big impact on my life. My mother, she again has a very strong faith and she's an extreme extrovert. But she can communicate with anybody. Like she does one of the ministries is with the homeless that she does at her church. And when you just see her interacting with people that she just met, that she, different races, different religions, different, she can interact with anybody and she can connect and find common grounds with anybody in the world. And so just the way she builds relationships with people, because I believe that's one of the most important things in leadership is building those relationships. And I got that from my mother. You know, my wife is the most, man, she's the most honest person I've ever met in my life. She's just honest. She's direct and she keeps me grounded. Because I can discuss and talk about anything with her. And when you get in some of these seats, you don't always have people that are honest with you. That's been one of the harder parts about the job. But my wife, I've never met someone that's so honest. And so it's been special. But man, high school coaches, Mike Johns, Pat Victor, they really taught me about discipline and what true leadership was. And I fast forward to the Saints and Mickey Loomis, ultimate servant leader. And that's what he is. He's a servant leader. He's got rare humility. And I learned so much of that from him. Sean Payton, man, his attention to detail in every aspect of everything, the attention to detail and just winning at all costs, like regardless of, he never stops thinking about winning. It's always going in his mind. So just to name a few, I know I can't name every single person, but those are some people that I feel like have really shaped me as a person.
Well, Terry, think about that. You talk about your dad making that mark on you when you were 9 years old, and you were making that mark on Caden when he's 9 years old.
That's awesome, Adam. I never thought about that, man. That's really cool, man.
Right? I mean, that's what we're talking about. And then the other thing that's amazing about that is that your dad worked at a Ford plant for 60 years, and here were the Fords interviewing you for one of the top positions on the Detroit Lions, one of the top positions in the NFL. Think about how much has changed. And
Yes.
How far you've come, and really society's come, to be in that spot where the Fords may want to hire you to be the general manager of the Detroit Lions, a position you ultimately get with the Atlanta Falcons. Did you think about that at all, Terry?
Yeah, and that's another one of those things that, you know, sometimes when you say things out loud, and that's what, when I said that on that call to, I don't think they kind of looked at me and they kind of paused and they said, are you serious? Is this real? Are you telling the truth? And I hadn't even thought about it, to be honest with you. I was just, they just asked me about my family and I just started talking about my dad and talking about my parents. And at that point, it kind of hit me. And that does mean a lot. And that's why when I say I look at this as an opportunity, not an accomplishment, because it is an opportunity, but that's the challenge, because I have to make sure for all the people behind me, whether it's my son or whether it's a lot of my peers and a lot of guys that I work with, I have to make sure I do handle this the right way. It's because I have to make sure I look at it as an opportunity and make sure I do the right thing. So everyone else can have the opportunities as well.
You will. You know why? Because you've got your dad's spirit and optimism, and you've got your mom's knack for dealing with people. And because of that, you're going to succeed here. You're going to succeed here. So when we talk about the football side of things, then, Terry, when people see Terry Fontenot, Falcons GM, what should they know about your approach to building a team and managing a team? Because that general manager job is a lot more than just building a team.
Yeah, it's a lot more than building a team. And I think it starts with, it's about the right people. And it all starts with relationships, but it's not just having the right people in the locker room in terms of the players. It's not just about having the right coaches. It's the entire organization. It's an organizational philosophy. Everything we have to do has to be focused on winning and winning the right way. Again, how you do anything is how you do everything. So it's about bringing the right people in the entire building and building it the right way. And that's why the first time, the most important thing is that partnership, because as a general manager, it's inclusive, right? Like, we're a team. Like, whenever we're talking about, we're meeting with the college scouts about the draft, this isn't Terry's draft. It's not Arthur Smith's draft. It's our draft, right? It's going to be our draft, and we're going to do it together. This is going to be our team. So we're going to be totally inclusive in everything we do. And that's why, as soon as I met Arthur Smith, we were speaking the same language and we had the same philosophies, and I knew it was going to be a great partnership. Once we start meeting with the coaches and meeting with the scouts, that's what we're letting everyone know. Like, this is going to be an inclusive process. Everyone's going to be involved.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, SAVE. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, SAVE. Jets Pizza, better. Because it has to be. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Adam today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/
Adam.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
You bring up Arthur Smith. Did you meet him before you became the general manager of the Falcons? Did you know him at all?
I did. So, and I think this is important for if you work in personnel, if you're a scout, whether you're a college scout or a pro scout, you just like you evaluate players, you need to always be evaluating coaches. And every scout, every personnel guy, they should have a short list and they should understand, they should really try to learn about coaches and learn what they're doing. Like that's important because that's important in your development. And so, look, when I started hearing that, I was going to have the opportunity to interview for a job, then that just got enhanced more. And with me, with the Saints, we have so many really good coaching candidates. The Saints did in the building. And obviously Dan Campbell got the job in Detroit and he took Aaron Glenn with him, and Aaron Glenn's going to be a head coach. And you got Dennis Allen still there and Pete Carmichael. Like, there are really good coaches in that building. But obviously, I'm going to challenge myself to go outside and look at other coaches. So I started building some relationships and communicating with some coaches. And as soon as I met Arthur, and he wasn't the only one. I met some really good guys. But as soon as I met Arthur, we hit it off. And right away, he's really smart. He's obviously a successful play caller. He's organized. He's detailed. He's an excellent communicator. And you can't fake that. You can tell right away, the way someone communicates. And then as you start doing research and casting a wide net and finding out information, he's an excellent communicator. He's just very clear and concise with his plan, with his vision. And it's not just about having a vision for the team and the organization, but you have to be able to articulate it. And he did that, really well. And, I knew right away he was going to be able to put together the right staff because he has a humility about himself. And I knew he was going to bring in people that were really strong, and he's done that with Dean Pease, Dave Ragone, Marquise Williams, a ton of really good assistant coaches. The thing that, above all that, that really sticks out is he is an honest, authentic person. He's comfortable in his own skin. And so when you talk about that he's got humility, so he's always looking to learn. So he's at a certain point in his life right now, but he's always looking to learn. So he's going to have great mentors, which he does. He's an avid reader. And he's always, and that's a common ground for us because I'm an avid reader. And so right away we start talking about different books that we both read and that we really enjoyed. And he's already bought me books and I'm getting books for him. So he's going to always continue. He's inquisitive in that way. So he's going to always continue to get better. So when I met him, I knew that, okay, he was going to be a special coach, but I felt like he was also a person, even if it was outside of coaching, he's going to make me better and enhance me as a person because of who he is. And now in this role with him, I know he's going to make me better, and I'm going to do my best to make him better.
Had you met him before he became the head coach or you became the GM? Had you ever met in person?
So we had talked a lot on the phone by the time we got here, but the first time we met in person was, I guess now it was a couple weeks ago when we had both taken jobs. And we had talked. We had talked a lot, but we had talked a lot on the phone. And we had all did our own research. So in this business, you have overlap. There's so many overlaps. So, I knew personnel guys and coaches, and I knew a lot of people that had worked with him, and I'd done a lot of homework on him, just like he had done on me. So I felt like I knew him really well by the time I met him. But no, the first time we actually met is when they set us up to meet at the stadium, and we walked out on the field and shook hands or dapped each other up on camera. That was the first time we met. It was like The Bachelor.
And what was that like, meeting your new head coach and him meeting the GM for the first time together?
It was, like I said, it was interesting because they had us mic'd up and they had all kind of cameras around. So I meet them and we were talking, but there was a moment where it was like, okay, when are the mics going to go off so we can really talk? But it was good and it was interesting. And like I said, I really felt like I knew him so well, because we had done so much work on each other. And we had done so much research. And at that point, we had talked on the phone so much. So once we met, it was exactly what we expected. And I think we hit it off.
Terry, before I let you go, I'm just curious. Last week, you went to Trevor Lawrence's pro day. You have the fourth overall pick. What is the thinking behind going to a pro day for Trevor Lawrence's throwing session when you're at four, Jacksonville's at one, and everybody's expecting Jacksonville to go with that player at one?
Yeah, yeah, it's a good question. You know, we're an hour and a half, I think it took us from Flowery Branch. It took us about an hour and a half to go there. So that's a place that it's right around the corner. So those relationships are going to be important. They obviously have a lot of good places, players there. And we want to take that advantage, the advantage to get there, get on campus, talk to Dabo, talk to the people there. And we want to see to see Trevor throw up close and see it, because look, our plan is to go see a lot of workouts and get to compare and contrast guys. And so it's so close, and you don't want to, and you think about it, if you know, you never want to pass up that opportunity to see a player like that throw in person, because who knows what's going to happen 4 or 5 years from now. So it's just taking that opportunity to go and see him, and we're going to go. We're going to hit as many of these workouts as we can and see a lot of players. And it's valuable to have that fourth pick, because there's going to be a lot of good players there at every position. And look, there's always a chance to move back and get more picks. So it's really valuable to have that. But seeing that workout was just thinking big picture and not wasting an opportunity when it's just an hour and a half away.
Well, he is from Cartersville, Georgia, right? He is from that area. So we have that going on. And I think one of the more interesting subplots of this entire draft is that you're sitting there at four. Carolina, in your division, is sitting there at eight. New Orleans, we think, is losing Drew Brees, as you would know. And Tom Brady, though he looks like he might play for the next decade or so, may not play much more than another year or two. So that division, from a quarterback standpoint, is wide open, and you are ahead of Carolina in the draft, which I find fascinating, because they made calls on Matthew Stafford and were interested there, and you think that they're going to make some sort of bold move at quarterback, and your team at some point in time is going to have to find a replacement for Matt Ryan. So there's all this quarterback jockeying going on in the NFC South, which, again, you've been in the division, you know the division well, and you could look into the future and know how uncertain that position is in that division. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it's really interesting, and not just in our division, Adam. I mean, what's going on at quarterback really around the league? I mean, it's been an uncommon offseason already, just with everything at the position. And I know it's different in every building, and you can go in any building, and there's different circumstances. But it's interesting. I would say not only in our division, but really throughout the league, what's going on at the quarterback position.
Yeah, it's not going to be much time to rest or sleep this offseason. My boss texted me this morning. Somebody posted a tweet saying they were going to the beach for a couple of weeks. He's like, when are you doing this? And I said, after the draft.
isn't this fun for you, though, Adam? I mean, this is like, it's I know it's more work for you, but this has to be pretty exciting for you.
Well, you know what, Terry? I'll say this to you. I mean, you love it and you dread it. It's a blessing and it's a burden. And you love chasing it, but you're just waiting on things and anxious about things. And I don't know. You love playing the games. You love being involved in the games, but it doesn't mean that it's just a joyride leading up to it. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. It makes total sense. And usually, again, it's so uncommon. Usually you can... You know what to expect, but I think in this year there's going to be a lot of things that happen that no one expects. The great Adam Shepard knows what's really going on.
Well, the great Terry Fontenot is here to make his mark in what's going on, and I'm glad to finally get you on the podcast, and I'm glad that the listeners today could get an idea of the man that you are and the GM that you will be for the Atlanta Falcons. And it was an honor to finally get to speak with you today. And I really do appreciate it, Terry.
Man, the honor and the pleasure is all mine, Adam. I really appreciate you and look forward to talking to you later, man. Maybe we'll talk after the draft and we'll be in a completely different world.
I got bad news for you, Terry. You're going to speak to me before the draft. So
there we go.
And I'm going to send you a book in the interim. I got a book to send you. I'm going to get your address when we're offline. I got a book to send you.
But I heard it was awesome. So I look forward to reading it.
Thank you, my friend.
I want an autographed copy.
Oh, done.
How about for me and Arthur Smith, an autographed copy? How about that?
Oh, that's easy. Oh, that I'm going to send it to both you guys, and they'll be coming your way. That's the least I can do. Believe me.
That sounds awesome.
How impressive is Terry Fontenot? You can tell right away, he just gets it. I think he's going to be a huge success for the Atlanta Falcons. That's a guy who understands personnel and, more important, understands people. And he brought up a point at the end that I thought was very interesting. He talked about the offseason and how busy it is and how unprecedented these next weeks will be. And it reminds me, for years, there are always people who ask me, what do you do in the off season? And I've always explained to people that the off season is the season. The off season is my regular season. The off season is when all these moves happen. And this past week was a quiet week in the NFL. And all that happened this past week was the Texans releasing J.J. Watt, one of the greatest, if not the greatest player in their franchise's history. With all he's done on the field and off the field, you know, he raised over $41 million after Hurricane Harvey hit Houston for all the people in need down there. He's distributed meals to underprivileged people. The amount of good that he's done in that community is off the charts. And we all know that he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Fame player. And now J.J. Watt's on the market. And I think he'd like to win. And I know people would say, well, wouldn't it make sense for him to go play in Pittsburgh? And it would. That'd be unbelievable to have him go play with both of his brothers there. The only issue there is that the Steelers are strapped against the cap. The cap's going down. And so as romantic as it is to have him play there, it's not practical. It just doesn't make sense. Now, it would be great to have him go back to Green Bay, where he played college football, and that would make a lot of sense. But the team that really makes the most sense would be the Buffalo Bills, a team on the cusp of a championship, a team in need of pass rush. Couldn't you see J.J. Watt, blue-collar guy in blue-collar Buffalo, playing for the Bills and Bills Mafia? I could see that. That would make some sense to me. But he deserves to finish with a winner because he is a winner. All right, another team in that division, the Jacksonville Jaguars, fired their performance coach Chris Doyle about a day after they hired him. Now, for those who didn't remember, Chris Doyle was involved in a controversy at Iowa where basically he was let go after numerous allegations of racist remarks and belittling players. And the amazing thing is, after he got hired, I can't tell you how many people across the league reached out to me and said, "What is Jacksonville doing?" Here's an example of a text that came in from one NFL person. "It's scary how out of touch with the NFL Urban Meyer is. Chris Doyle is one of the biggest holes I've ever run across. Further, he's not that good. The players will tune him out immediately." Another general manager reaches out and says, "Do you realize how important it is to have somebody in that position that players will respond to rather than spurn? Jacksonville wants people to show up for its offseason program, and players are not going to want to be there for that guy." And when the Jaguars hired him, my first thought was, is Chris Doyle that much better than the next best performance strength coach? Like, you had to have him? Couldn't hire anybody else for that job? He's that good? And the Jaguars quickly learned, with the Fritz Pollard Alliance speaking out against the hire and others criticizing the hire, that it was not a good decision. And both sides went the way that they should have, with them saying that he had resigned from his position. But I think everybody could look at it and know that Chris Doyle probably was let go from his position. I'm sure they reached some sort of financial settlement to let him go away. And the situation in the end worked out where he is not taking over, as many people believe he shouldn't have been taking over. The other issue we're watching this week is Carson Wentz. And I know that on Super Bowl Sunday, Chris Mortensen and I reported that a trade was expected and it could happen as early as this week, meaning last week. It didn't happen last week. I still think it could happen in the next week or two without question. I still think Carson Wentz will be traded from the Philadelphia Eagles. We've heard about the Bears. We've heard about the Colts. I think the Colts make the most sense for him. They fit him best and he fits them best. But the Bears obviously have had some interest, as have other teams. And we'll see how that shakes out. And I think once Carson Wentz gets traded, I think at that point in time, some of the other quarterbacks now come into focus. We know the New York Jets have taken calls on Sam Darnold. And as I've pointed out, like, if they're taking calls and listening on calls, doesn't that tell you that they're more apt to move him than not? And so that will be one of the next quarterbacks that we look to once Carson Wentz is traded out of Philadelphia. All right, I want to thank our guest this week, the Falcons general manager, Terry Fontenot. Really enjoyed talking to him. Very impressive guy. I see why the Falcons hired him, and I go back to what I told him at the beginning. When I spoke to the Denver Broncos about their hire of George Payton as their general manager, they said, Adam, the one guy you also have to pay attention to here is Terry Fontenot. He was incredibly impressive, and they were right. Now I understand exactly what the Denver Broncos were talking about and what Arthur Blank saw in Terry Fontenot when he hired him away from the New Orleans Saints. Also want to thank my great producer, Christina Buswell, for putting up with me and putting this podcast together. And I want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in to another Adam Schefter podcast. Please join us again next week when we continue spinning on the quarterback carousel and get more information and insight from our latest guests. Thanks for listening this week. Be well and stay safe.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.